Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Hey there, Duke fans. This is DBR Bites episode 37. And now you're probably thinking, yo, you're waiting for the full recap of the Wake Forest game. I am Donald Wine, first of all. I am your host. Jason Evans is here. Jason, say hello real quick. I know we're doing this very quick.
Yeah, we're going to do this fast. Like you said, we're going to have the full recap tomorrow, but we had to hop on and react to what's going on. We both of our phones, my phone, I've literally got 130 text messages since the game ended.
Yeah, and if you have not watched the game, and you probably will before you listen to this podcast, we're reacting to the end of the game. We're going to talk, as Jason mentioned, about everything else tomorrow on Sunday, but we had to jump on afterwards because we need to talk about the court storming. And, of course, Duke, of course, loses to Wake Forest at Lawrence Joel Coliseum, 83-79. But after the game, or as the game was ending, Kyle Filipowski and most of the other Duke players were trying to get off of the court as Wake Forest's fans, mostly students, were storming the court to celebrate what was a huge win for Wake Forest. And before we get into what we are going to talk about, this in no way takes away from Wake Forest's win. That was a very big win for them.
Absolutely.
Hopefully will help secure their berth in the NCAA tournament. Congratulations to them on that win. We will talk more about that tomorrow. But after the game, as the game is ending, Kyle Filipowski is trying to get off the court and gets hit by a student as they're rushing the floor. And in the result, in the process, he twists his ankle. At first glance, it looked like it twisted his knee. And we learned after the game from John Shire that he had sprained his ankle. At least that's the initial report. And it was to the point where, if not for a Duke manager who happened to be nearby trying to escort Kyle off the court, Kyle Filipowski wouldn't have made it, because Kyle Filipowski could not put weight on that leg, on his right leg. He had to be helped off the floor by the manager, John Shire. Ryan Young was there trying to shield them, and several other people trying to get him off the court because he was in such pain. Now, Jason and I jumped on here to talk about it because, first of all, this is absolutely unacceptable. This is exactly what we all fear when these court stormings happen. And I know some people think it is a great part, a wonderful part of college basketball. And in some ways, storming the court to celebrate a big win can be nice, but there has to be rules behind it. And Jason, I'm going to let you start because I know we could talk about this for 40 yeah. minutes, but I want you to start with your thoughts on the court storming and what should happen at this point.
I mean, as for what should happen at this point, it's difficult because you need to have rules in place. You need to have consequences for actions like this that people know in advance. I mean, look, it's easy to be reactionary and go, Wake should forfeit the game or Wake should have to pay a fine or something like that. But I don't know that any of that's appropriate because Wake wasn't warned in advance. That said, I think the ACC, starting tomorrow, needs to have new rules in place to protect players and coaches, you know, everyone surrounding the opposing team when something like this happens. Donald, this is the third court storming that Duke has endured this year. Georgia Tech, Arkansas, and now Wake Forest. There was sort of a mild court storming kind of, I wouldn't call it a storming, like the Carolina fans came on the court, but it wasn't nearly the same kind of
correct
thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't label Duke, it that.
When Duke loses on the road, the fans storm the court. Always. Wake Forest doesn't need to worry about this. Virginia Tech doesn't need to worry about this. Boston College doesn't need to worry about this. Duke, UNC, and occasionally a team like a Virginia, perhaps, are the schools that need to worry about this, because we're the ones that get the court stormed every time we lose. And it is a dangerous, dangerous situation. So, Donald, here's what I think the ACC tomorrow needs to say. First of all, if your fans storm the court and make contact with an opposing player or, you know, member of the support staff or coaching staff, $1 million fine for the first offense, $10 million fine for the second offense. I'll tell you something else. Your fans storm the court, make contact with an opposing player, your fans are banned. Your next game or multiple games, depending on how bad the incident is, and the ACC can determine this, are played with zero fans in the arena. And I'll give you something else. It shouldn't just benefit the team that comes after Duke. Next year, or the next time Duke plays at Wake, that place is it's silent. There's no one there. I'm trying to get it out.
Yeah.
The next time Duke plays Wake, there should be no one in attendance. This may sound a little radical, but Donald, you know, you're a soccer guy. This is done in football and soccer all the time. Your fans behave badly, your fans don't get the privilege of watching games live. I'm furious. We don't know how badly Kyle Filipowski has been injured. It's possible he doesn't miss any time at all. You know, it may have just been like, you know, the adrenaline was hot in that moment and something, you know, feels bad. And then you get back to the locker room and you're okay. We have no idea. It's possible he's done for the season. I mean, look, it's not the way he was trampled by those fans. He's lucky that something far worse didn't happen.
Again, if he hits the ground, if that manager's not there to catch him and he hits the ground, it becomes a stampede as opposed to a court storming.
Yeah. It could be that a kid loses, you know, his ability to perform at a high level and loses his career. I mean, if Kyle Filipowski, if something had happened to his knee, a dislocation or something, who knows what, it could impact his NBA future. Frankly, if I was Kyle Filipowski and his family, I'd probably file a lawsuit against Wake Forest. This was foreseeable. This was negligent on the part of the Wake Forest security detail and the administrators at that school. It's unforgivable, and something needs to be done. I'll let you can go for a minute now.
Yeah.
I got something. I'm going to tell people something that can be done, but you go for it.
We got more, right? But let me respond to some stuff you're saying, because I think I agree with you on most of it. I think when you talk about the zero fans in the stands, the one thing, as you mentioned, it does happen in soccer quite a bit. If their fans get out of pocket for some reason, there are times where, you know, leagues, federations, you know, other bodies, right? Tournaments will say you have to play X amount of games behind closed doors, but it's never used to help the team that it happened against, right? Like, so for example, in this case, they'd say, hey, you know, Wake has to play the next five games behind closed doors. That may not be Duke, right? We made it like in soccer, we could play a team and never see them again for 50 years. They're not going to say, hey, by the way, 50 years ago, you had this thing. And so this is going to be something where you have to play behind closed doors. They just do it for the next X amount of games. And yes, that doesn't actually help Duke at all. It doesn't matter who was the opponent. It matters is what happened. And for me, that's the thing is, yes, we as Duke have to hear about this. We have to see this all the time whenever we lose. We have to have all the people randomly texting us, oh, Duke lost to some random team, Wake Forest. I've never heard of them. Yes, you have. We have to deal with that. Wake Forest does not have to deal when they lose to, you know, Southwest Directional State of Cleveland. Like, they don't have to worry about that. But, Jason, I think also the other thing is some of these schools don't care. And I think that's the problem is Wake, like you mentioned, knew it was going to happen and let it happen. We've seen Caitlin Clark have the same thing when Iowa lost at Ohio State. She got trampled and she got hit during a court storming. They immediately apologized, but that doesn't stop the fact that Caitlin Clark could have got hurt in that play. It doesn't stop that from happening. I'll also mention this, Jason. There are ways, again, some schools just don't care. They'll take the fine. They'll eat it, whatever. SEC has rules. It used to be $25,000 for the first offense, but schools just paid it. Like, oh, rush the field, rush the court. We don't care.
That's why I said a million. That's why I said a million. Make him feel some pain.
Well, now it's $100,000 for the first offense. It's $250,000 for the second offense. Guess what keeps happening? Horton Fieldstorm. You know why? Because it's marketing for them. They get to put that on the TV. They get to put that in their commercial, and it's on SportsCenter. Because here's the thing, that will be on SportsCenter. So that's free publicity for them, right? That's free publicity for, and make, it's just like, you know, how in many sports, when people rush the court, if they, like, we have a pitch invader, intruder, or something like that, or someone streaks across the court, they say, oh, we're not going to show the offender, but they talk about it, and because they don't want it to be glorified. But guess what's glorified on SportsCenter and every other, you know, sports highlight show every single time it happens? Court storming. I think the other thing is this, Jason. We have a way to do this. And I think this leads back into something that you do. Keep in mind that we have never stormed the court for a basketball game. Like, we may have, like, fans on the court. Like, the last time I remember it being really a big deal was when Doc Rea hit that last second shot against Virginia Tech in 2006.
I was going to say, fans stormed the court for that. Yes.
They stormed the court, but it wasn't a court storming, right? It wasn't a, right, hey, we're celebrating. It was more of a fans kind of filtered onto the court. Again, kind of like UNC did against us earlier this year. In football, we have stormed the field. But I went to school back in 2000 to 2004. When we won our very first football game, they literally had ropes that said, hey, we are going to direct all the students and all the fans who want to rush the field to this corner over here. We're going to rush it to the middle of the field. That way, this team can get off of the field safely. They can do that. And again, this is not something that was set up where they go, oh, it wasn't a last-second buzzer beater where they came from behind. This was something that they knew was going to happen. They even called a timeout with 1.8 seconds left to try and organize it, and they didn't organize it. Duke is able to do this every single time that we've stormed the field, and that's very rare, as we've talked about. But Wake Forest, every time they did it last year when they beat us at Lawrence Joel, every single time that they beat us at Lawrence Joel, they stormed the court. This is not something that is like, oh, we didn't expect this or this wasn't coming. Like, this was coming. They knew it was coming. They should have had a plan for it. Other schools do. And that's what I'm most upset about, is that there was no plan for this. And this is the worst case scenario of somebody getting hurt. And of course, it happens to be one of the best players in the ACC.
All right. So I've got two things. The first one is, I just got a text message from someone who knows what was happening in the Duke locker room after the game. What I've been told is that John Shire misspoke. It's not an ankle, it's a knee. But that it looks like Kyle is going to be okay. It doesn't look like it's something that's going to be lasting or serious. That's what I've been told.
He was standing. There was a clip of him answering questions outside the locker room, and he was standing under his own power. But yeah, okay. So it looked like the knee on the replay. So I'm glad that was corrected. But that doesn't change anything in my mind.
Yeah. So the other thing is, if you watch the play, and I'm sure all of us have multiple times, it is very lucky that there wasn't a fight or something worse, as the Duke players were trying to drag Kyle Filipowski off the court with Wake fans all around them, taunting them and such. Stanley Borden and Ryan Young looked to me like they were ready to go. They were ready. Stanley Borden, they were ready to go. And it is very fortunate that someone, you know, some Wake fan wasn't a little more aggressive and really got in those guys' faces, because I think something really terrible could have happened. And then the last thing is this. Donald, I mentioned, I'm like, oh, what can be done, us as fans? I'll tell you what can be done. Get out a pen and paper, everybody. 704-936-0503. That is the phone number for the ACC office in Charlotte. 704-936-0503. So that is the number for the ACC office. I am urging all of you, make a phone call. Tell the ACC how outraged you are. Tell the ACC they need to put rules in place to penalize schools that cannot protect the team that comes to visit them. Tell the ACC there need to be fines. Tell the ACC there need to be situations where fans are banned from the stadium. Because until the ACC does something, until every fan in the ACC knows there is a problem, there is a penalty, your school will be in trouble if you storm the floor and make contact with the opposing team, This is not going to stop. Again, really quick, Donald, I don't have a problem with court storming. Celebrate with your friends. I am totally in favor of that. It is joy. It is exuberance. Good on the Wake fans for having fun. But you need to do it in a way that is safe and where you protect the opposing team. I'm done.
I think the last thing for me, right, is, as I mentioned, I'm not totally against court storming. It happens. It's something that can be very nice. It can be. But it also, people, when they do it, they forget the cardinal rule. The cardinal rule is this. Fans do not belong on the court. Court storming may be a fun thing to do, but fans never belong on the court. If a fan goes onto the court in the middle of the second half, they get arrested, they get trespassed from the arena, they get banned for life from most arenas.
Yep.
Right. Call those court, you know, pitch invaders, whatever. They get banned for life from that stadium, sometimes from all stadiums in that league or in that country. But when it happens after the game, it all of a sudden becomes a thing that's allowed to happen. We can't have the dichotomy here, right? So when I say that it can be fun, there needs to be rules in place to understand that player safety for both teams, right? And we've talked about how opposing players have been hurt, right? In a couple instances this year, there have been multiple instances where some players of the team that won get hurt because fans storm the court from all ends and they get caught in, you know, get a crush or something like that. And they end up, adrenaline will say, hey, they're fine. But there have been people who've been hurt by their own fans rushing the court or the field. This, and again, this is something that people are going to be talking about all evening long and probably into Monday. But my point is, it does not matter. I think Kyle Filipowski getting hurt is the worst case scenario of what could happen when someone rushes the court. But the main root of my anger is he got hurt because there was nothing to be done by Wake Forest to stop an inevitable court storming from happening. There's other schools that do it. Again, Duke has made it where we kind of get funneled. We wait until 10 seconds or 20 seconds or whatever so that players can get off the field, both sets of players. Because again, there's some players on Wake Forest team that probably didn't want to be a part of that either. Steve Forbes said in his press conference he didn't want to be a part of that. And so there's people who don't understand that just because it's fun for you doesn't mean it's fun for everybody. And at the end of the day, people need to understand that being on the court is what the players are supposed to be doing. Being on the court is not what a fan is supposed to be. There's no reason for a fan to be on the court. And at the end of the day, Kyle Filipowski's hurt, and we don't know how serious it'd be. This reminds you in a way, Jason, and in a different circumstance of the Notre Dame game in football, where everyone was like, hey, that was a decent loss. We gave it a good effort, but hey, it was a decent loss. And we're talking about a star player being hurt. We shouldn't have to be talking about that, but understand that we're going to keep, we're going to keep, mentioning this again. As Jason said, if you want to call the ACC office or express your anger to the ACC, do it directly. But at the end of the, we're still angry here. We're kind of grasping straws here.
Yeah.
We just wanted to get on and kind of talk about it. We're going to have a full recap of the entire Wake Forest game on episode 599. But this is DBR Bites 37. We'll talk about court storming, unfortunately. And I know we're all angry. Let's use this to kind of get everything out of the air. And then we'll breathe and we'll get back to business because, again, the rest of the season is still upon us and we have to have everybody ready. And hopefully we have everybody healthy, including Kyle Filipowski at that. So for Jason, I'm Donald. This is DBR Bites episode 37. We're never going to do the Duke band, but they can take us home.